This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. Is it possible to make the world a friendlier place? Maybe, maybe not. But Harrisonburg's Earl Martin has spent decades trying, working a lot of those years in Asia. His first chunk of Asian time was spent in Vietnam, where he did his alternative service work during the Vietnam War.
Vietnam represents all kinds of feelings of intensity. I mean, carrying in your arms a five-year-old little girl who was just playing their version of Ring Around the Rosie with her friends and suddenly falling to the ground, and you're nearby and you watch and thinking she'll jump back up and run again, and she doesn't, so you go over and you see blood on the ground and you pick her up and carry her into one of the mud and thatch houses and try to find a pulse, and then you wave down a truck and go to the hospital, only to discover that apparently a stray bullet had fallen out of the sky and hit her on the head, and she was dead on arrival. Experiences like that just somehow sear deeply into your soul.
More recently, Earl Martin returned home to Harrisonburg from, of all Asian places, North Korea. On this Asian trip, he, along with five others, were on a house-building mission for the Fuller Center for Housing, a Georgia-based group who writes on their website that they're on an unrelenting quest to provide adequate shelter for all people in need worldwide. The group had to fly to China, arrange for a visa, and then fly to North Korea.
As soon as we got onto this North Korean plane in Beijing, I was buckling up in the plane, and I wanted to make conversation with this North Korean man sitting next to me. Turns out he didn't speak any English, but there was a couple, North Korean couple, sitting right behind us, and they heard me trying to communicate in English and in Chinese, because I do speak a little bit of Chinese. And they kind of indicated that they spoke some English and Chinese. And so I turned to them and said, hello. In fact, I used an expression, a Korean hello, that I had learned a couple of years ago in South Korea, which is Annyeong Haseyo. And the gentleman, who was perhaps, I would guess, in his 60s or 70s, kind of chuckled and said, oh, that's the greeting in the South. And I said, oh, I see. There's a different greeting in the North. He said, yes, it's Annyeong Hashimika. And I said, oh, that's interesting. And then there was this discussion, short, but about the fact that, yes, there is North and South. And he kind of twisted his hands as though to indicate that their country was twisted in half. And I said, oh, I'm sad for the history of all those families who were separated, and I'm sorry your country has been divided. And and he chuckled and said, oh, never mind, that was a long time ago. And then his wife, who was this elegant, handsome woman, smiled and repeated, a long time ago, in English. It was a wonderful way to begin the trip. It was this reaching out, people to people. And I said, yes, that's why I'm here. We're here to build houses. But no, we're here to build relationships. We're here to build trust.
The North Korean government maintains a firm grip on the lives of both its citizens and its guests. The Fuller Center gang, who worked in a village just outside the capital, was hosted by a government agency called the Pectison Academy of Architecture.
We wanted to see how they heated their houses. And so we made a request, could we visit one of the houses to see how they heat their houses? And they said yes. Well, after they checked around with each other a little bit, they finally said yes. And so they arranged for us to go and visit one of the houses.
How do they heat their houses?
It's quite ingenious, actually. It's amazing. And I had encountered this in South Korea back in the mid-60s when I first visited there. They have their living room and their bedrooms all on the same level, but their kitchen is 2 feet lower than their living room. And they use a compressed coal briquette that's about 7 inches in diameter and about that tall to cook their dinner. But coming off from the channel, coming off from the place where their wok sits in this depression, is a channel that goes in under the living room floor and the bedroom floor, and the smoke and the heat from the kitchen hearth heats that channel under the living room floor. And indeed, when we were there, we could put our hand on the floor in the living room and feel the warmth. The house itself might be pretty cold because there's no insulation in the walls or in the roof. But if your seat and your feet are warm and you're sitting on the floor, it's not too bad. Not too bad.
Did you get any sense of how Americans are thought of?
Well, if you read the official press, Americans are typified as being imperialists and threatening, and there's a menace that one gets when one reads about Americans in the North Korean press. Not too different from the impression we get when we read about North Korea. There's this kind of foreboding and there's this kind of menace image that comes through in the way we talk about each other. But interestingly, when we were in restaurants or in the market, I'll tell you about that market. the person-to-person response was so different and so curious and warm.
So what about that market experience?
The last day we were there, I asked our translator if we could possibly go visit a market, an ordinary market that the Korean people went to. And I didn't expect that we would be allowed to do that. And it was clear that our guides had to be with us all the time. We weren't free just to wander down the street and go wherever we wanted. But I thought, well, let's at least ask if we could go to a market. And our guide said, well, I'll inquire. And so he inquired of the director of the academy. And very soon we were on our way to a market. And we got to this market, and there were just hundreds of people around the market. And we got off our bus and went into this large warehouse kind of building. It was swarming with people. Shoppers who were there in this market. And soon we were rubbing shoulders and bumping into all kinds of Korean school teachers and street cleaners and workers and plumbers and everybody else.
Could you talk at all? Did people speak any English?
No. Unfortunately, we weren't able to communicate much, but we were walking among these people, and the vendors were all these women in red smocks sitting behind their low tables of tofu and noodles and socks and pliers and all kinds of foods and hardware and clothing. row after row of these people. And again, as I would give a greeting in Korean, the Annyeong Hashimika, they would often brighten up and smile. And it was somehow a very moving time for me because, I mean, here I was among the people. I remember so often when I read about North Korea in the newspaper, it does sound as though this government seems a little bit irrational or a little bit rash, at least, often doing what seemed to be self-defeating kinds of things. But here, among the people, it suddenly felt different. It felt as though, oh, these are housewives getting food for dinner. And I tried to think, now what must they be thinking about? Are they thinking about the isolation of their country? Are they thinking about whether their country will develop nuclear weapons or not? Well, maybe. But maybe they're thinking about, well, am I going to have noodles or am I going to have rice for supper tonight? Just the ordinary stuff of human life. And then as I looked into some of their faces, I wondered, I wonder what your grandfather experienced 60 years ago during that Korean War, that devastating war when their country was just leveled. And somehow I just had this deep, deep feeling like never again can there be that kind of hostility between our peoples. It's not just a matter of who is more powerful in the world. I mean, what we have to focus on is these people. And it somehow is a very moving moment. I guess for me, it was that moved me most deeply during our time there.
These experiences make you feel better, this outreach. Do you think it helps the world? Do you think it makes a difference? In your gut.
Yeah, I do. I do think it makes a difference. But there certainly is part of me that would want to do them even if it didn't make a difference. Just because it seems so right, it seems so human. No one thing will perhaps turn the tide, but the accumulation of many relationships of goodwill, I believe, have the potential to bring a new day in our relationships.
Earl Martin, thank you very much.
Well, it's been a delight. Thank you.
Earl Martin and his group were only able to spend 4 days in North Korea. Visa complications and supply snafus shortened their time there. He would, Earl says, like very much to go back. Incidentally, you'll find a link to the Fuller Center for Housing website on the Spark page at WMRA.org.